This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Mom and Dickie.
Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. As always, it's a wonderful privilege to stand here and share the Word of the Lord with you all on this blessed day. It is Mother's Day, and we appreciate all of those little Mother's Day prayers and wishes and appreciation. We thank you for that. And I remember one of the Mother's Day jokes that were told in the ladies group. A little boy asks his mom, "Why is the computer so smart?" And the mother said, "Because it listened to its motherboard." You want to be smart? Listen to your mother. Amen. For me personally, I can never tell you how thankful I am to God for the privilege of being a mother. Every Mother's Day, there is one thought that come across my mind, and that is my wedding day. Yes, my wedding day. On my wedding day, as I got dressed and was ready to leave my house and my family gathered around me and pray for me. This is our family tradition, and I bet some families do that as well. And so my mother, some of my aunts, my uncles, my older siblings, and they all gathered around me, laid their hands on me and blessed me and prayed for me. And when my mother finished praying, and then one of my brothers, my older sibling, Abraham, he read a portion of scripture, which at that time, even though I know, but I really did not think much of it. But he read from Genesis 24, verse 60, and he said it was the prayer that the family prayed for Rebecca. And it read this like this. And they blessed her as she parted and said, "Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies." And the contemporary version actually says, "They gave Rebecca their blessings and said, 'We pray that God will give you many children and grandchildren, and that he will help them defeat their enemies.'" And I remember thinking, I don't want many children. But the truth is, neither me nor my brothers nor anybody at that point in time had a clue that this was a direct word from God concerning what he was going to do in my life, concerning the path and the direction he was leading me to. Because not too long after that, not many years after that, I find myself here in this country and here in an international community and literally becoming a mother to so many people from all over the world. Apart from my own three biological children, I became a mother to so many. And what baffles me is the fact that I am the least qualified for this job. I am the least qualified. See, I'm not the kind of person that is those strong women that can run around and do things, you know, that they're there solving everybody's problem. And no, I'm not. In fact, I am the last child of my family. And so it's not about how smart I was. It's not about
how beautiful or how strong I was. It is totally the will and the purposes of God in my life or for my life. And that is why I am here. And I never fully understand the mystery of motherhood. But every day, God unravels this truth, this mystery of motherhood. And as He unravels it, I see much more of my relationship with God, the relationship I share with God, becoming more and more like that of a mother and a child. And this afternoon, this is part of what I would like to share with us. This is what I believe the Lord has laid in my heart to share with us, the expression of God's love through mother's love. It's so that we can touch and connect with it. Of course, God's love is way much bigger than a mother's love. It's greater than a mother's love because it encompasses everything. It fills everything. But through the eyes of the mother, through the mother's love, through our interactions with our mothers, we are able to see how God feels about us. We're able to understand what are God's thoughts and feelings towards us. You see, people in the world, they really have a hard time, especially people of other faith, they have a hard time figuring out what gender to attribute to God. Now, to some, He is like a mighty warrior, a great dictator that is waiting to vent His anger and wrath upon the disobedience of His subject. But to others, he is a more of a goddess. They believe he has to be a goddess, a powerful and strong goddess that is captivating and seducing great men with her beauty and all that she has, riding, holding a spear, riding on a black horse, and ready to take down on anybody that gets on her way, friends and foes alike. But I thank God that the God of the Bible, the God I see in the Bible, is not confined to one particular gender. He expresses His love in different ways. He can be a mother, He can be a father, He can be a friend, He can be a comforter, He can be everything. Hallelujah. And I am glad about that. I am glad about that. Now, I want us to just look at our lives and our mothers. Yeah. Maybe look at the little things, the simple day-to-day things that our mothers do for us when we were small or when we were young. And even up to this point, up until this point. Yes, from the simple things, cleaning us, giving us a bath or a shower, rocking us to sleep, cleaning our poop. Has anybody here experienced that? Yes, cleaning our poop. I do believe that maybe my heart goes out to those who have lost their mothers at a very young age, but I don't believe that maybe sisters or cousins or aunts, people that have filled this vacuum of motherhood in your life, I believe they have also done these things to you. And so probably she must have smacked your bump a couple of times when you misbehave. She must have rocked you to sleep. She must have eaten up your leftovers. She must have cleaned up to you, woke you up so that you don't miss an appointment, lay your bed, clean your room. She must have given up the choicest meal, most favorite meal for you. And you know, the saying goes that you know when you are a mother, when you know that you are a mother when you start to vacuum, dust, clean, wipe nose, cooking, driving, flushing, ironing, sweeping, doing homework, paying bills, budgeting, clipping, and dragging people out of the bed, and dragging yourself out of bed, and chasing, and buckling, and feeding, riding and biking and pushing a truck and cuddling dogs and sprinklers and slides and nature work and coloring and crafts. And when you start to jump rope, when you start painting, and a whole lot. Yeah, indeed. Sometimes I really wonder, how was I able to do all of those things? How was I able to do this, do that? And I'm not crashing down. That must be God's grace. That's God's grace. The grace given to mothers. Because the moment you conceive, even before you conceive, you know, because motherhood, I sure underscore here, is really not about age. It's not about age. Okay? Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. But the moment that grace comes upon you, as a woman, typically, the moment you conceive, there's something in your brain that just begins to work, you know, in that manner where you see yourself doing these things. And pretty much like God, have you ever stopped to think of the things it takes God to get you going every day? I mean, the little chores that God had to deal with, you know, in just keeping you as his child, as his daughter or his son. And multiply that by the number of human beings on the planet Earth. And then think about entire galaxy and other bodies that God is in charge of, God is taking care of. I bet he has a lot in his plate. And think about God rescuing you, healing you, providing for you, cleaning your messes, and forgiving you, comforting you, rocking you, playing with you, feeding you. He mourns with you. He guides you. He cries with you. He rejoices with you. He restores you. He refreshes you. He disciplines you. He is your friend. He is your father. He is your mother. He is your teacher. He is your counselor. He is an instructor. And on and on and on. What a love. God does all that for us to express his heart of love and compassion towards us. And what a love. Hallelujah. And so I just put together just these 5 points, to just the 5 things that I believe, five traits that mothers are always involved in, that mothers exhibit. And we can see that in our relationship with God as well. We can see that in God's love for us. So the very first thing is the mother's care and sacrifice. From the time you were born, like I said, your mother did care for you. And again, I would like to still underscore the fact that I do acknowledge the fact that some mothers were not there for you. And I pray that if you happen to come from a broken home or you didn't have that motherly love, my heart goes out to you. I really pray that in your heart you will find it to forgive your mother and cling to the motherly love of God, because that is where his love comes in and just fills that vacuum. Hallelujah. And so his care, mother's care and sacrifice. And the mother sacrificed everything. She just, from wiping your noses and then caring for you and giving up some of the things that are dear to her in order to see you prosper, to see you become something in life. And some mothers gave up careers, they gave up jobs, some mothers gave up fancy houses, they gave up the opportunities for a better life in order to just have you go to school, go to college, and in order to help you become something in life. And isn't it the same way with our God? When he gave up his throne, when Jesus gave up the throne of heaven, and he came down and as a man and subject himself to this, you know, death, even death on the cross, which says that just that you and I will live a purposeful life, the life that God intend for us to have. And then he goes ahead to care for us. He goes ahead to be there for us, to make sure that we're working in the path. He provide for us the things that we need to make it through this life. God's love for us. And we see a picture of that right from the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. We see this motherly love of God pursuing them, providing for them. He provided food for them, water for them. He was a pillar of cloud. He was a pillar of fire by night. He gave them manna and quail. He gave them water from the rock. He gave them water. He turned bitter water into sweet water so that they could drink. He was a guide for them, and he provided them with his laws so that they would protect them and keep them safe. Their clothes and their shoes did not wear out, and their feet were not swollen as they walked through the desert, and all of that. And when they were sick and dying, he lifted up a golden serpent and said, whoever looks up to him, and he provided all their physical needs in the wilderness as they journeyed to the promised land. And then you come down to New Testament, fast forward, New Testament, and he gave and gave and gave and gave. And then in the new dispensation, he gave himself completely, the fullness, the full extent of the demonstration of his love for us. Because his love is such a flawless love, such perfect and complete love. Now understand that our earthly mothers, we earthly mothers, our humanity sometimes get in the way, and we might not do it quite right. We might not do it quite perfectly. And that is why the scriptures in Jeremiah 49, 15 and 16 says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Hallelujah. And he says, behold, I have engrafted you, imprinted you in the palm of my hands. What a love. What a love. Him. So take comfort in the fact that even though your earthly mothers might not fulfill all of that, might not be all that, because they are humans and they are bound by limitations, but we have a God who is both a father and a mother, and he is there to fill that vacuum, and his love is flawless. His love is sufficient, is complete. And Peter says his divine power has given us everything we need for both life and godliness. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for that. The next aspect of mother I want us to look at is the pain and the forgiveness of a mother. The mother's pain and forgiveness. And Proverbs 17 says, a self-confident and foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to his mother, or to she who bore him. And he gave the same thing in the 10th chapter of Proverbs, just a different wording. And he says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish and self-confident son is a grief to his mother. And it is interesting to note that what grieves the mother is self-confidence, self-reliance, your ability in yourself, thinking that your trust in yourself. And oftentimes we feel, you know, mom is old-fashioned, you know. Mom, the things you wanted me to do, the things that work for you, they were the things of the olden days. In this generation, we do it this way, and it doesn't work that way, the way it worked for you during your time. And rightly so, I do acknowledge the fact that this generation, you know, is unique in its own. It's an exciting generation and with a lot of knowledge and explosion of technology and all of that. But there is one thing that doesn't change, though. The standard of God. The standard of God does not change from generation to generation. His standards remain the same. What is sin to God? What was sin to him then is still sin to him now. Amen. Now, I know that the young people might not necessarily love this part of the sermon, but that is true. And so sometimes you rely in your own abilities, in your own strength, and discard the leading and the guidance of your mother, and thereby causing her great pain. Great pain. And it is the same way sometimes we treat God. We discard his teachings and his command and his leading and guidance and his admonitions, and we choose our way, self-confidence and our abilities, in our strength, maybe in our talents, maybe in our gifting, maybe in our careers, maybe in fame, in anything that we just really want to pursue. We just have that self-confidence that, you know, I can deal with this. I can handle it. I know. You know, in fact, sometimes it's as though we picked up things that we could give to God to handle. And then certain things we say, no, God, I can fix this. I know how to go about this. I can handle this. But the other things, you go like, you know, you deal with those things, but these things I can handle. Self-confidence in our abilities. And then as a result of that, it breaks the heart of God, because that gets us into trouble oftentimes. It breaks the heart of God. And we despise that position, that motherly position. And then, you know, go our way and do our things. A story is being told of a young man whose mother was blind. And he was never proud of her, her disability. And he really didn't want to show her to people. He didn't want to introduce her to people. And when she would go to school for teachers' meeting or parents' meeting, and, you know, he really wanted to disassociate himself as far as possible from her, because he was ashamed of her inability or her disability. And he grew up. She still saw him through hardship and difficult life. She saw him through college, and he grew up to become very famous and wealthy. And yet he still does not have anything to do with his mother, and neither does he have any regard for her. And as she saw that her situation was becoming, she was getting weaker, and she was getting apparently older, and the time is coming for her to possibly, you know, give up, exit this world soon. And she decided she was going to write him, and she wrote him a letter, and she told him a little story of a young boy who was plagued with an incurable disease, a deadly disease, when he was a baby. And that disease, unfortunately, took both of his eyes. And his mother decided that she wanted the child to grow up seeing the world, seeing the beauty of the world. She wanted to give him a chance. And she decided to give her both eyes to this child. And she said, "That little child, my son, is you. And I am that mother." And what a sad story. But this is true. This is so true with our relationship with God. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says that there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. In fact, he was so mad beyond recognition, and we considered him stricken and afflicted by God. Such pain. And yet, that same chapter says, but yet he carried our infirmities, carried our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and through his stripes we were healed. What a love. Think of the so much pain we have caused God. And on the other hand, he just turned around and gives us forgiveness. Such a compassionate God. Such a compassionate God. Hallelujah. Don't you want to just praise God for that? Just want to praise God for that. The mother's comfort. Isaiah 63 talks about 66. Sorry, Isaiah chapter 66. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to all like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. Then you will be nursed, you will be carried on her hip, and lovingly bounced up and down on her knees. It actually says God's maternal knees. As one who his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted, O Jerusalem. And this is one of the most beautiful pictures that you can actually see. A mother carrying a baby and rocking that child and rocking that baby to comforting that baby to sleep, or maybe just comforting the crying baby. Is one of the most beautiful picture. That just that picture of a mother, you know, cuddling her child or feeding the child. Such a warm feeling of love, such a warm expression of love. And God says, this is how, you know, he will just carry and nurse us and comfort us. And think about the times where you run to your mother in despair, maybe as a failed relationship, maybe from the pain of failure or an ill health, and you just run to your mother. Now, maybe as a little child being bullied at the school by other kids, run into your mother, and as she just embraces you and just comfort you, it's like all the pain just wash off you. And that is how God does for us, and that is what he always wants to do for us. His arms are stretched wide open, waiting to embrace us and just cuddle us and tell us how much he loves us and tell us it's gonna be okay. And sometimes when I feel, you know, overwhelmed with such a situation, I just want to just go and just fall into his hands in prayers and just cry out my heart to God. And most of the time, literally, I feel as though God was just holding me in his hands and saying, baby girl, it's gonna be okay. I got you in my arms. That is God's love. He just want to be there to comfort us, tenderly with his compassion and with his love. He understands what we feel. He understands. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize with our weaknesses. Well, he himself, he understood our weaknesses, our infirmities and our liabilities and the assaults of temptation. He understands them. And he knows how I feel. And he says, you know, just come. Come to me. Come to me and be comforted. Come to me, all you who are weary and I have been laden, and I will give you rest. Come, I will rock you in my embrace. But sadly, some of us are running away. Some of you want to run away from home. You feel, you know, you can't put up with mama's rules. You can't put up with some of the demands of being a child and your responsibilities at home. And you just want to be away and farther away from your mother's love. And some of us, that way, we just want to be farther away from God. We want to seek comfort from some other things, from some other people. Some of us seek comfort in career. Some of us seek comfort in drugs, in women, in fame, in wealth. We seek comfort in relationships with other people. We seek comfort in all kinds of things. But those things cannot satisfy. They cannot satisfy. They are temporal. But God is here with his open arms, just like a mother, and saying, come, baby, come and rest in my embrace. Come, let me feed you. Come and rest in my embrace. I pray that we will take advantage of this open arms and not run to other things to seek comfort. Let's come to him and take advantage and let him rock us in his bosom and embrace us. Oh, what a comfort we will experience. Hallelujah. Amen. And the fourth thing is the mother's discipline. The mother's discipline. Now, I know that this point might not necessarily be an interesting one, because no one really loves discipline at that time, at the moment we are undergoing discipline. Nobody loves that. But the Bible says in Proverbs 23, it says, do not withhold discipline from a child, for if you strike him and punish him with the rod, he will not die. But instead, you will deliver his soul, you will deliver his life from Hades, a place of death. And I know this is not a parenting class, and I'm not going to go into the definitions of what a rod could be and all of that. But the thing is, God demands us to discipline our children. Earthly parent, he demands us to discipline our children, because he disciplines us as our father, as our mother. He disciplines us. And he explained to us the reason why we are being disciplined. It's an expression of his love. It is hard to separate God's discipline and his love. His love always is accompanied with his discipline, because he disciplines us to save our souls. He disciplines us to protect us. He disciplines us for our own good. And that is explained in Hebrews chapter 12, where he says, you know, God disciplines the child he loves. When you are being corrected, do not lose heart. For if God does not discipline you, then you are not a legitimate child. In fact, Proverbs chapter 3 says, my son, do not despise or shrink from the chastening of the Lord, his correction by punishment or by subjecting you to suffering or trials. Neither be weary of an impatient or being impatient. And he says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights in. So God disciplines the child he loves. A story again is being told of that mother who loves her son, her only son. And the son will go to school and come back with stuff that doesn't belong to him. And his mother will not discipline him. She will not talk to him about it. She will not rebuke him. And she will say, it's okay, you can keep it. And as he grew up, he was involved in robbery and was caught and put in jail. And the mother went to visit him one time, and he asked if she could come closer. He wanted to whisper something in her ears. And she came closer, and he beat her ears. And, of course, she screamed and was very unhappy and, you know, began to talk to him. And she said, and began to rebuke him. But he said, mother, I did that because you were the reason why I'm here. I am so hurt by what you have caused me. As a result of your lack of discipline, you did not discipline me, you did not rebuke me, you did not punish me with the rod, you did not, when I was small, you did not discipline me. What a sad story. What a sad story. And the next time your mother discipline you or your parent discipline you, please understand that it is a demonstration of their love. And if someone claims they love you and they're not willing to discipline you in the path that is right, then I question the validity and indeed the authenticity of their love for you. Because from this scripture, it's as though that is what discipline validates, the fact that you are being loved. Amen. discipline for us because He loves us. That's why He disciplines us. And finally, the last point I will talk about is the mother's joy and pride. Proverbs 23, verse 25 says, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Amen. And it goes ahead to say in verse 15 of that same chapter says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will be glad. Even mine, yes, my heart will rejoice when your lips speak right things." And one of the things that brings joy to the heart of a mother is to see her children doing the right thing, to see her children growing up and have become something that, you know, that is honorable, that is something that brings joy, and especially if such a parent is a believer, something that brings joy, not just to her, but to God, the Heavenly Father. That is one of the greatest things, says, when your lips speaks right, righteousness, to see you living rightly, that is what brings joy to the mother. And the same thing, that's what brings joy to the heart of the father. The father rejoices when he sees you living right. He rejoices. In fact, in Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord rejoices over you with singing." He is happy. He delights in you. He takes pleasure in you. Psalms 147 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently fear Him, to those who hope in His mercies and His loving kindness." That is what brings joy to the heart of God. That brings pride. And the scripture says, in fact, it was God who said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So God took pride in the fact that Job was a righteous man, was a God-honoring man. God took pride in that. And God wants to take pride in you. He wants you to bring joy to His heart. That is your purpose, to bring joy to the heart of God, to fill His heart with joy because of you, so that He will, when He look at you, when He look at your life, He will delight in it, and He will say, "Have you considered my daughter? Have you seen my son George? Have you seen their lives? Have you seen what honor they bring to me because of their lives?" Hallelujah. Now, because of time, I will not just dwell much, because our time is far spent. But I will leave you with these words. Proverbs 31:31 says, "Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gate." And I'll say, not just your earthly mother. Honor her and let her works, let all she has done, bring praise to her. But not just your earthly mother. Honor God for all that He has done, for His motherly love and compassion towards you. And let His words bring praise to Him. Let the work of His hands bring praise to Him. How He saved you, rescued you, protected you, disciplined you, comforts you, and how He cared for you. Let the work of His hands bring pleasure to Him. Hallelujah. And Deuteronomy 32 says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will ascribe greatness to our God, for He is a rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways and His laws are justice. A God of faithfulness without injustice, His truth." Their humanities, why we might not be able to be everything for you, but God is the mother that fills up every vacuum in your life. He is there for you. There's nothing that can be filled with His love. His love is perfect, is complete, is full, is pure, and is flawless. And it's there for you. Friends, run to His open arms and let Him embrace you. Let Him rock you in His motherly embrace.
God bless you as we pray. Father, we'd like to thank you for your love towards us. We thank you to be able to see your heart of love through our earthly mothers, even through our relationships with our earthly parents. We can truly have a glimpse and a reflection of your eternal love for us that is complete, flawless, without error, and is perfect. We want to thank you for this love. We pray that you will help our hearts to respond to this love, that we will run to your open arms willingly, that we will come to be comforted from you, and for the times we heart through our own self-seeking and our own self-confidence, we ask for your forgiveness. And we know you're always there to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so your scripture says. And Lord, we pray that our entire lives will bring joy to you, that will cause you to rejoice over us. Once again, we want to remember those who are hurting, who maybe have never had the privilege of enjoying a mother's love. I pray you comfort their hearts. If they need to forgive and let go, help them to do so, Holy Spirit. And let them know that instead they can run to you and let you fill that vacuum. As a result of death, they have lost their earthly mothers. We pray you comfort them as well. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.